Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I am Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, and I will be filling in, as I have been, while Ewan is off making his millions, and or at least I like to think he's making millions, because then maybe he can buy his presents. You know, a boy can dream.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, we have increased the size of the panel compared to last week. We've increased it dramatically because we added another person. Patrice, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I mean, I've been busy, and I'm back.
And it's great to have you back. You were missed while you were gone.
I had a great time in Berlin. I mean, it was a lot of really good food, a lot of walking. Weather was all right, I would say. I mean, for this time of the year, it was okay.
And you posted some awesome photos too.
I did. I had a good time.
That is awesome. Well, welcome back. And Rich, how are you doing? Welcome back to you too.
It's good to be back. I've had this illness that everybody's been, not the big bad one, the one that is just a really awful cold, because we've all been hiding for 18 months. So I'm still getting over it a bit, because it's horrid, but it's good to be back.
Well, it's great to have you back. Seriously, it's great to get to hang out with both of you. So this is an absolute treat for me.
It is. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing all right. And, well, I'm doing even better because I'm hanging out with both of you. Well,
and you got a haircut.
I did. I've been holding off getting a haircut because there's just a lot of craziness around here right now with the Delta variant picking up and then tapering off and picking up again. So I thought, oh, I'll just be safe. And I was given an ultimatum a few days ago, which was that I had to go get a haircut because there is no way that I could look sexy with my hair the way it was. and I thought, okay, I can take a hint. I need to go get a haircut. So I did.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Why, thank you. We had a fun wildlife sighting here in Boulder earlier this week. We had a mountain lion that decided one of the neighborhood streets was its home.
Mm-hmm. And ooh, just hanging out, just like cats do.
Just hanging out like cats, but a lot bigger. So everyone had to take their pets inside because you know, for a cat that size, cats, dogs, whatever, small pets, those are snacks.
Mm-hmm.
And people had to go inside because, there's a meal right there. finally, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife people had to come in, tranquilize the mountain lion, put it in a cage, and then they drove it outside of town, back off to the west, up into the hills, or as the rest of the world would call them, mountains, and let it go. And boy, was it happy to get out of that cage. It took off.
I can imagine.
I mean, it really took off.
And tomorrow it's going to be back because, you know, cats.
Yeah, it probably already has been back. Yeah. So anyhow, big cat sighting. So that was fun.
Nice.
Yeah. And we did have a wildfire at the south end of town as well. So it's just been a couple weeks filled with excitement.
Sounds like it, yeah. Not the kind of excitement you want, but...
No, but, well, I mean, the mountain lion, I'm okay with that excitement. And when we have the bears that just take over someone's yard for a day, and those are fun. And, well, people in other parts of the world, they would be like, okay, I am not going into that neighborhood. Here, we go drive over so we can get photos of the bears. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't say I've had that. I mean, the biggest excitement that I know of was like a rattlesnake in a friend's yard. So that was about it.
Oh yeah. Yep, those are
Yeah.
fun too. And when I say fun, actually no.
Yeah, not really.
I'm okay dealing with the mountain lions and the bears, but the rattlesnakes, that's where it becomes a problem. Yeah. Yeah, those guys are jerks.
Yeah, and then nobody did anything about that. That was the fun part.
Yeah. It's I have had to deal with rattlesnakes before, and
Look at that.
that's for another show.
Oh
Yeah.
dear.
Yeah, welcome to Colorado, Rich.
Yeah.
Or
It scares me.
Arizona.
I'm
Or
sure it's lovely.
Arizona. Yeah,
Yeah.
Arizona, basically everything wants to kill you one way or another. So
That's true. Colorado's nicer that way. Not everything wants to kill you.
it still wants to kill you, but they're nice about
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the Canada of dangerous animals.
And the
Yeah.
mountain lion comes by and says hello, and like, how are you doing? And then kills
Yeah. What'd you have for lunch? Oh, that sounds great. I'd like some too. And then eat you. Yeah. Yep. All right. So, there was no lack of tech stories this week. So I cannot wait to see what both of you brought. And I intentionally did not pick a story or the story that I think everyone is going to bring. And Patrice, you nailed it. You brought the story that I was sure someone was going to bring.
Well,
The Facebook outage.
it's one of two possible stories about it. I mean, there's the story about the outage itself, but this one is more about how that outage actually killed some other services. So that was the interesting part. That was the part I didn't expect. So what happened was someone at Facebook, somewhere in the site, like in the data center team, reconfigured some of their routers,
A totally normal
and
thing to do.
totally no. I mean
Yep.
that happens frequently, and basically killed their entire network. Like Facebook said, I did SOS usually didn't say much, but they said it was a misconfiguration that led to a cascading error in their data center. So basically, everything was down at Facebook. Like the access control to the buildings, their internal communication tools. Everything. They had to literally send people over to one of the data centers to manually fix the issue. Like there was
Yeah.
no remote access or anything anymore.
And one of the reports I read said that to actually get into the data center, they had to use a saw and cut through a door
I'm
because
not so sure about
they couldn't
that,
even get the door to open.
usually those doors still have keys, so I'm
I mean, I would
guessing.
hope so. Nonetheless, I heard that,
Yeah.
and I'm making it headcanon because it just makes the whole thing
Yeah.
that much more
Yeah,
ridiculous.
but as I said, what was more of an issue was that people couldn't even enter the buildings, like other buildings, like the office buildings, whatever, like all of that was down. So as I said, that in itself was an interesting story. There was someone from Cloudflare who analyzed what happened in their data. They could basically see that at some point there was a bunch of updates to the routing information, and all the routes were removed. Like all routes to Facebook were basically removed. So nobody knew where to send data that should go to Facebook's like infrastructure. That in itself not a big issue. I mean, sure, Facebook was down and WhatsApp and Instagram, some other stuff. But the interesting part was that because so many people were trying to reach Facebook and then talking about it and then going to Twitter and like that created so much extra traffic because people were like constantly hitting the Facebook or trying to hit the Facebook servers and nothing happened. That basically other infrastructure like Slack and Twitter and like other big services had issues too because the network was just congested because I don't know, about a billion people, I guess, or two. I don't know how many users Facebook has, like 1, 2, 3 billion, something like
A
that.
lot. There are a lot of zeros on the end of that.
A lot of zeros. Yeah. So a lot of people were trying to reach Facebook and trying and trying and trying again. And probably also a lot of apps that were like being killed or retrying things and so on.
On the apps thing, my friends in the WordPress community were telling me that the number of websites that went down because they were using specific social media plugins that needed to authenticate with Facebook or Instagram and couldn't, the websites just went down.
Yeah. I mean, if your application is poorly written and it doesn't work, if Facebook is down, then you have a problem. It's going to take everything down.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's it. That was for me the interesting thing. I said Facebook in itself, I mean, like, big deal. Like, I didn't care. It's like, okay, sure. It wasn't from a technical perspective, it was an interesting error. Probably a lot more people now know about BGP, the Border Gateway Protocol.
Right.
Or at least have a faint idea what it is, or at least heard the name at some point. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to learn it in school, so I do remember some of it. So, but yeah, it definitely wasn't a standard DNS issue. I mean, that has happened too, where like the DNS servers went down or something like that. That wasn't a problem. It was literally the entire network.
Yep. And I found it fascinating to learn that Facebook runs everything off of their own services.
Yep.
So when Facebook went down, the domain, Facebook, the company, went down.
Yeah. I hope they learned from it. I guess I'm pretty sure they learned from it. It shows you that at a certain point, doing everything yourself is not a good idea. You should have some stuff like distributed in other locations and so on. Mm-hmm. So that, like, especially DNS and so on, like, even if like Facebook, the website was down, everything else still worked. Like Facebook.com could be completely down and everything else is still there. Like,
yeah, and you should still be able to open the doors at your office.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a similar story, like it's a little aside. It didn't happen to us, but we got a requirement from one of our customers that was very specific about changes to the employees. Like if more than X employees were changed in a certain period of time, they wanted to block it. And the reason for that was that something happened. And it basically removed roles for all employees and they couldn't even get into the hospitals anymore, in the buildings. They had the same issue. Access control was connected to the employees. And since those employees didn't have roles anymore, that was that.
That's a problem.
Yeah. So it does happen. Like this stuff like that is something you have to think about. Like what happens if my critical infrastructure goes down? Can I even enter the building?
Well, I'm wondering how many big companies, after the Facebook thing happened, called big, important, like emergency meetings to start doing an audit of their entire infrastructure to figure out where they have the same weakness.
I don't know. Emergency meetings, I don't see that happening too much, but I'm pretty sure some people thought about it, or some people were like, okay, like what would happen if it's our infrastructure? Like, is that something we should consider?
I would hope that that people at like pretty much all the big companies had someone that sat down and was like, okay, I need to go through all this. Let me call in a couple of my coworkers and let's do our own little audit and figure out where we have problems, where if one thing goes down, it cascades out.
Yeah. I really hope that happens. I mean, a lot of that's the surprising part. I mean, I would have hoped that Facebook would have done that in the past. I mean, there's always something that can happen. Like, I mean, like Amazon, where like someone entered the wrong command and took down the entire data center, stuff like that. Or took down the entire network, have also happened to Amazon. So
right.
there's always stuff that you don't expect, but I would have hoped that, I mean, this one was so obvious to anybody who has worked on even one server, like, and has misconfigured their network settings and then basically locked themselves out. Mm-hmm. Should have predicted this one.
Right.
Because this is a common issue.
Yeah, my network and here in my office, and really it's just me. Mm-hmm. Even I have taken that into consideration. So I have fail safes in place so that I don't end up locked out from my network or locked out from internet access.
Yeah. And I mean, you're just like one person. Like,
I'm one person.
The worst thing that can happen, I mean, what happens? I mean, your network goes down, you just whatever, take your phone, tether off that, or go to the next like Starbucks or something.
Right.
So for you, it's probably not a big deal. But like someone like Facebook, you would have hoped that they thought about that one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'd forgotten about my backups, which is, you know, I can tether if I have to, mm-hmm. or I can go to the coffee shop and work from there. But you know, I still have in-house systems to, mm-hmm. To account for, network failures, internet failures, and misconfiguration mm-hmm. issues. I mean, worst case scenario with something like that, I have to get up, walk 5 steps, and move 2 wires.
That's perfect.
Back in business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said. So I hope a lot of big companies already have thought about that. And sure, they might do like a double check and say, like, are we covered? But I hope that they already thought about it. But what I really hope is that some companies, like especially smaller ones, like the really big ones usually should have done this. But the smaller ones, like small, mid-sized, there it's more likely that someone didn't think about it because like they just grew and didn't think about how critical things. I mean, mm-hmm. that happened to our company. I mean, not going into details, but we had some infrastructure outages that lasted like 3 days. And that wouldn't have been a big problem 10 years ago, but it was now, because now we have like we have close to 10,000 people working.
Mm-hmm.
So like if it was like 1,500 or something, it's like, okay, like, I mean, and whatever, like a small number of developers, like, okay, like they'll survive. But nowadays that costs you a lot of money.
Right. Yep. And I did see some people speculating, which I didn't even have to do any digging to know, no, they're wrong, but people speculating that Facebook intentionally took all their services offline to create this news focus on that instead of the hearings that were happening. And no, of course they didn't do that. The amount of money they lost during that, 6-hour window is mm-hmm. staggering.
That's about 6 hours. Yeah. I mean, just how many ads they couldn't serve and couldn't get money for, mm-hmm. just that alone. Like, just look at how much money Facebook is making in a year.
Right.
Like, we could do the math. Like, let's see. Facebook revenue in 2020. Let's see. So Facebook made advertising revenue was 84.2 billion.
Holy crap balls.
In 2020. 84.2, 65 days, and then divided by 4. So that was 0.05 billion. So about, what is that, 50 million?
So about 50 million or 500 million?
Sorry, it's 0.05 billion. So that should be 50 million.
Yes, 50 million.
Yeah. So that 6-hour outage cost them probably, I mean, we don't know, like, because it's usually not equal, like probably a little bit less, but it's about 50 million.
And that doesn't take into account the value lost for their stock.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, value lost for their stock, value lost for like all their like employees not being able to work, all of that.
I think they lost a lot of money off stock value. That was, yeah.
Couple hundred, I think I heard something about a couple hundred million in stock alone.
Mm-hmm. And Zuckerberg's value dropped, was it $7 billion? It was an insane number. But I mean, his value on paper is a ridiculous number anyhow. Might as well be made up. And the amount he lost is probably bigger than some company's GDP.
Yes. Yep. Easy.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's it. That was I said the advertising revenue alone is a lot, but if you factor in all the like the loss in work and whatever, people not being able to work, that adds up faster. I mean, I don't know how many employees Facebook has, but if all of them couldn't work for 6 hours, that's probably another billion.
Yeah, I think they had just a handful of employees that could work. And that was the handful that was at the data center getting the routers back.
Yeah, online. I mean, it's usually not a complete loss because like especially developers, they usually have the code locally and can do some stuff at least. I mean, I don't know how Facebook works, but.
Poorly, like, apparently.
Yeah, really badly.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But that was before the outage, so that doesn't count.
Yeah. Patrice, I'm so glad you brought that story because if no one had brought the story, I would have just been so disappointed because I intentionally didn't pick Facebook because I was certain someone else would.
And Ben put like a really good point in the chat. He said all of Facebook employees unable to work for hours versus millions of people who did work for a change because Facebook was down. So I would say that was a net win, probably.
Yeah, Ben's right. It is a net win. Yep. Okay, Rich, what do you have?
Okay, I'm afraid I don't have the chat room up, so I'll
don't worry.
Can I put it in the?
Put in Zoom chat.
That's the one. That was Zoom chat. Those were the words that weren't coming out of me. Right, there we go. So Twitch had a little bit of a leak this week.
Little.
It was so tiny. It was so tiny. It only included sort of 3 years worth of details regarding creator payouts. And all of the code for their website going all the way back to pretty much the early days of their website and all of the code for their mobile desktop and console and other Twitch clients and all of the code related to, oh dear God, do you know, I think this was a bit of a big leak.
This counts as a big leak. If only they'd been storing all of their data on Facebook servers.
Nothing would have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. The funny thing was that the person who put that app said it was like only the first step. So there is more to come, apparently, I guess.
From Twitch or just in general? Twitch. Because what else do they have? This is. I feel like I know the staff underpants sizes now.
Yeah.
There's no more data to come out.
Yeah, I mean, the revenues were interesting. It was less than I would have thought. Like, I think the biggest group made about 10 million in a year, and that was a group of people. But there were a couple of people that were in the million range. I would have expected given how big Twitch is in the gamer space, that it was more.
I would have assumed so too.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's only the payouts from Twitch itself. I mean, we don't forget about like advertisements and like product placement and whatever. But still, it's a lot of money, but it's not as much as I would have thought.
Yeah, but okay, so now. I'm wondering what other data could possibly be leaked at this point, because it sure feels like everything the company had was just dumped right out there.
Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, unless you're going on to there's nothing here like user data. There's no sort of usernames and passwords. That's maybe they could go that's other data to, because clearly whoever's got this has got literally everything that's been on a Twitch server.
Yeah, I mean, so, there's still emails, for example. I would have assumed like stuff like internal communications of some sort. I mean, there's still a lot of data a company could have.
They do have some interesting legal things that have happened over the years that it might be interesting to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that kind of thing.
What probably hurt is that they also leaked an unreleased Steam competitor. So that probably wasn't good.
Unless you're Steam, and then now you have a heads up.
Well, they won't do anything, though. I mean,
no, Steam is too big.
Well, what are they going to do?
Yeah, but someone else could use it.
Yeah.
If you wanted to spin up something.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's kind of open source.
Pretty much, just like the rest of Twitch. Maybe yeah. Epic Games could use it, but then they're distracted with other things, aren't they?
That's true.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, Epic has a couple other things on their plate right now. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, it's as said, that was it was part of the Do Better Twitch movement, apparently, or at least the hashtag was used. So
it kind of seems like an appropriate hashtag at this point.
Yeah. I mean, there have been a lot of like controversies and issues on Twitch recently. So I mean, we don't know, but the guess is at least that it was motivated by that. Like, it wasn't financial or it wasn't for bragging rights. It was more about hurting Twitch, basically.
Yeah.
I think they've had a lot of controversies over the last couple of years. I kind of feel bad for them. They seem to have one of the hardest jobs on the internet when it comes to moderation. And dealing with the community and abuse of people in that community. And I always...
Well, they could do the Facebook thing and just...
just shut it down. Just shut it down.
Well, that's an idea.
Put themselves in timeout.
I was more thinking not about shutting it down, just doing what Facebook does and just pushing that. Like, the more more hateful people are on the platform, the more time they spend there, and like, do it that way.
It's true. Yeah, go with that. That might be what's to leak. They might be emails saying that's what we're going to do. Well, let's just do what Facebook do. But I feel like, you know, they're so often they get caught up in the middle of things and they try and do a right thing and it turns out to be the wrong thing to try, and so many other things. It's not a job I could attempt to do is moderate Twitch of all places. Dear God, no.
I can't even imagine the psychological trauma that that their team has to deal with trying to moderate what's going on.
Well, yeah, they'll see. I mean, I imagine the Facebook people probably see some more grim stuff. You hear a lot about the mental health of people working at Facebook.
But not just the people working in that area.
Yeah. And that was another news story of, you know, they're being accused of putting profits above what harm they know they're doing to people. And of course, Mark Zuckerberg's made a statement that is, no, we aren't. Don't be silly. As if we do that.
Yeah.
And it's... then he scuttled back away.
Yeah, went back to his robotic charger station. Yeah. Oh.
He has little pogo plugs on his feet. That's how he charges.
Okay, that was really funny. Yeah, okay, so this Twitch data breach and leak, I mean, this is huge. This is fracking huge. And this is something that should have users flipping out in a very serious way. But I don't think that's really going to happen. I mean, I think we're at a point where we have huge data breaches like this, or, well, maybe not on this scale, but still, I mean, we have huge data breaches at such a high frequency that that people have built up a fatigue to this, and it's just the next one, and they'll hear about it in passing, or maybe it'll be a big news thing, and then next week it'll be out of their mind because they're on to the next breach, and a lot of people are like, well, you know, all my data's out there, what can I do? I don't care.
There was a movie a couple of years ago called this, I think it was The Circle. And I don't remember who was in it. Like, I think it was like, there were a couple of big actors. But one of the things that got me thinking was basically like the underlying premise of that, or, well, the conclusion of that movie was a post-privacy world. A world where privacy simply doesn't exist anymore because, it didn't work. And I've been thinking about that. Like, if that, I mean, it sounds scary at first, but that's coming from the world we're in right now. But like, the more leaks and the more data is out there, and the more we also share ourselves, the less that is like all that different.
And I just looked up the movie, The Circle, 2017. Yeah. Emma Watson, Tom Hanks, Karen Gillan, John Boyega, Bill Paxton, and Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, it wasn't the best movie of all times, but it was a decent movie. And that it got me thinking about that. Like, is that an option? Are we moving there?
Yeah, maybe.
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose, but yeah.
No, maybe. I mean... I mean, maybe at some point we'll just make a decision and say, okay, I mean, we're over this. Like, let's just put everything out there. Let's just open the floodgates and, like, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, that's real uplifting.
Yes.
All right. Well, on continuing with our theme of happy, uplifting stories, my story this week is about another data breach, and this one is Cineverse, and this is the company that that manages the transaction of SMS from one carrier to another. So when I text message from AT&T to Patrice on whatever you're on, there's a good chance that my text message is routing through this company at some point. Well, it turns out that they had a data breach that started 5 years ago, and they just recently figured it out. Essentially, the hackers have had access to everything that passes through their network.
Wow. That begs the question whether that was actually a state, like not like a hacker group or something, but like some state actor, like, because I mean, they, like, any foreign intelligence service or any intelligence service in the world would be interested in this.
Oh, absolutely. And and at this point we don't know if it's a single group or organization, or if multiple groups had access to their servers.
I mean, if it has been going on this long, there's a good chance that it's not just one group.
Right. Yeah.
If one group can figure it out, more can.
Yeah, and I think I should point out that when Patrice and I do message each other, it's not SMS. It's going through Apple messages. No. So it bypasses Cineverse completely. Mm-hmm. And our messages are encrypted.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't want to text across the ocean anyway. Like, that's just too expensive.
Right.
For no reason. Like.
Right. Yeah, because text messages, that just goes into the header packets for for phone communication.
Yeah, so which is which is TCP/IP these days. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so just in internet it's traffic.
Free data, anyhow. And more or less. And yeah, and then we get charged for it.
It is. I mean, I didn't even know, and that's probably something a lot of people are saying. I didn't even know they existed. I didn't even know there was a company doing stuff like that. I always assumed it was like carrier to carrier, that they had some interface somewhere, but I guess not.
Well, the only reason that I knew this company existed was because a couple years ago, they were in the news because their systems failed on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were millions of Valentine's messages that were being sent that never got delivered, which means that there are probably relationships that ended because this company failed to deliver a ton of messages.
Yeah, I mean, probably not. Because if one missed or a couple missed texts, the reason for you to end the relationship, then it wasn't all that great to begin with.
That's true. In that case, this is probably just the final straw in a relationship that was already well on its way to its final shelf life.
Yeah, I guess so. I actually have a related story that I had brought that I put in the chat. 3G is getting shut down.
Yeah, the slash gear story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3G. I mean, some phones that are 3G only and don't do LTE might actually not work anymore. Or at least, they will still work, but you can't use data.
Where's that?
Because they're shutting down 3G worldwide, like step by step. And I think 5G is actually supposed to reuse that spectrum.
Yes, I believe you're correct. Yeah. And yeah, having services like this shut down is not new.
No.
But it every single time it catches some people by surprise. Mm-hmm. I mean, when Edge was shut down, part of the surprise there was, wait, Edge hadn't been shut down yet.
Yeah, but 2G is still around. Like GSM is still around.
Right. Which
they kept that around for some reason. But I mean, it's probably an emergency, and like some sort of emergency fallback that you still have 2G, but it's still that was another one. Like, I didn't expect it to be shut down this fast. I mean, 3G was like late 2000s,
yeah,
let's say, so about 10, 12 years.
I mean, there's plenty of places around here where I can only get 3G.
I mean, the good news is most likely those places will get 5G, because that's probably what's going to happen. They're going to shut down 3G and then use that spectrum to provide 5G. But still.
Yeah.
Or at least LTE. I mean, it could also just be LTE. That's better, but.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the dates from the Slash Gear article. January 1st, 2022 for Sprint. February 1st, 2022 for AT&T, July 1st, 2022 for T-Mobile, and then December 31st for Verizon. And
and is that the story's about the US, but the same thing is happening in other countries. I know that. Like, this is not a US only thing. Like, there are other countries that are basically following that.
All right, so if you're still on an iPhone 3, it's 3G, probably time.
Yeah.
It's time
3G or 3GS.
Mm-hmm. Time to upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Wait a second. Did the 4 add LTE? No, the 5, right?
The The 5 had LTE.
Yeah, so I think the 4 or 4S. I think the 5 added LTE, so it's probably...
Well, I'm firing up Mac Tracker so we can check right now.
Yeah, but as I said, there are probably a lot of 3G capable phones still out there.
Mm-hmm. iPhone 4 had...
I'm pretty sure it was 4G only. Sorry, 3G only.
I'm still waiting for the phone network 3 to change their name.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember. No, actually, they still are 3 here as well. I mean, the Austrian equivalent, but they're still 3.
And yes, it the iPhone 4 and 4S were 3G.
Mm-hmm. So those two.
And iPhone 5 was the first LTE.
Mm-hmm. That's what I remember. So if you have one of those or the equivalent Android ones, I'm guessing they were about the same at that mm-hmm. point. Yeah, get a new phone. It's about time. I mean, yep. Yeah, but you know, people hold on to their phone. I mean, as long as they like the battery still works, they hold on to those phones for years. I'm pretty sure my uncle has a 4S. I mean, he doesn't care because he never uses it, but he still has it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
never on so.
And there are people out there that feel like upgrading to a new phone is a ripoff because in their mind the companies are trying to force this on you. Mm-hmm. There's no need for it.
Yeah, it still works. No.
My God, I've just remembered I have a friend who still uses an iPhone 4. I'll be seeing him tomorrow and I will check if he's still using an iPhone 4 because he was the last time I saw him before lockdown.
Mm. Oh, well, it'll be awesome to get to see your friend. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll be the bearer of bad news.
He won't care. That's the truth. He won't care. That will be nice for him. Like less of it will work. That's ideal. That's ideal.
Yeah. Well, that's the other option then.
Yeah. He's annoyed that it does anything more than get phone calls. And I don't think he's pleased about that.
So wait a second. So that's actually a phone still?
Yeah.
Wow. So maybe he should replace it with an iPod Touch.
That's
no,
true.
He should get one of those new flip phones. I don't remember who, but there was some company, wasn't it? Who was it?
Nokia have got one out at the moment.
Yeah, I think there was some companies that released new like Android based flip phones. So.
Yeah, there's a few. Look on AliExpress and Wish.com. You can get all kinds of things on there. But also any phone network, sort by price low to high. There's some interesting things down there that we don't realize exist.
Mm-hmm. And I love how instead of calling them dumb phones, because we have smartphones, they don't want to say dumb phone, mm-hmm. they call them feature phones.
That's true. Yeah, because they have one feature. No.
Yeah, they have one feature. Which is they might get cell reception somewhere.
Well, that used to be a thing when people would get a new phone. You'd ask them what does it do? Because in a new phone, it did new things, and now it's
these days
iPhone.
It does everything. So
yeah, you know, right. You know what it does.
Yeah. That's this point, true. it's how nice are the photos that you can take mm-hmm. with your smartphone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's more camera than phone these days, right?
Yeah.
And it's the Nokia 2720 available for free up front and at £13 a month.
Nokia.
That's expensive.
27.
for what it is.
That's with 12 gigs of data. I cannot imagine how you would get through 12 gigs of data on that phone. I don't know.
Well, maybe software updates. You can install your software updates over the air.
I think it has. Well, it's showing Facebook and YouTube, and I think there's a Spotify logo. I don't know that it's an Android phone, though.
So I just looked up the Nokia 2720 V Flip on their website. And here's feature set. Flip phone. See caller ID on the outer screen. Flip the phone open and closed. There you go. But check this out. Up to 26 days of standby time from a single charge.
Awesome.
Those were the days.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. You'd have your 3220 and you'd hammer in nails with it in the morning and you'd still have enough charge to go on a night out with it for the rest of the week. It was great.
And and the classic flip, 89 pounds. Wow. And up to 28 days of standby.
Bad. I don't think my iPhone lasts that long.
But hey, it does have a camera on it.
Yeah, that's already too much. That's one feature too much.
Right. Oh, another feature on it. Large buttons on keypad and an emergency contact button.
This is for old people, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. Either old people or kids.
I like to think of it as a phone for technophobes, because I know a lot of people independent of age where this would be an appropriate phone.
Independent of age and independent of occupation, because as I said, my uncle, and he works in development, so you would have assumed something else. Maybe I should get him one of those.
Hey,
maybe he's going to use it.
It has Facebook and WhatsApp preloaded.
Oh, wow. If it works.
If it works, yeah. 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 Wow.
How did we end up with flip phones? Oh, yeah. We were talking about the network thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
I kind of want a flip phone now.
I kind of do miss my Motorola Razr.
Oh, Razr. That was the one company I was thinking. I think they're still releasing those, right?
Yes. They were releasing a model of the Razr, which was a smartphone. And I think they, like in the last year or so, started releasing a kind of retro version of the phone.
Yeah, I remember it.
There's a bendy glass version of the Razr. It's quite nice. But it's quite a high-end expensive one.
Yeah, but I think they also released like a proper flip phone Razr. Like not the I can't remember what the name for it is. The bendy glass thing.
Bendy glass. There you go. We know what it means. It's bendy glass.
Bendy glass.
Can't wait for Tim Cook to say bendy glass. It's going to be great.
Yes. And now we know what everyone's pick this week's going to be. The bendy Motorola glass. Razr with bendy glass. Yep. Hey, this show and all the others on the British Tech Network are sponsored by TSO Hosts, which is awesome because without their generous support, we literally would not be here. They give us the bandwidth we need so that we can stream shows to you every single week. They give us the server space we need so that we can have a place to host the files so you can go and watch or listen to your favorite episodes at your leisure, which is totally awesome. And they just recently upgraded our servers for us, which was wonderfully generous of them. And Patrice made the transition from our old servers to the new ones painless and transparent. So thanks for that, Patrice. TSO Hosts, in addition to making it possible for us to actually be here, they provide hosting and domain services. So if you need to buy a domain, if you need to get some hosting of your own, hit them up and use the discount code BTN20 and you'll get a discount on what you're buying. So that's awesome. Now, what they're asking of us is that we head on over to our favorite social medias, give them a shout out saying that that you appreciate that TIOSA Host is here and sponsoring the British Tech Network. And the reason you need to do that is because everyone needs a little validation in their life to feel important and to feel good about themselves. And this is the way we can give TIOSA Host that validation so that they can feel good about being part of the BTN family. So go do it. It's a nice thing to do. We are also sponsored by Imend Max, and they are fantastic because every week they throw Callum to the wolves. I mean, Callum joins us on the Max show, which is just wonderful. But seriously, what they do is fix your Apple gear for you. And instead of doing like so many repair places would do, which is just take your logic board out, throw it away, put a new one in, and hope that fixes the problem, they actually go in and really diagnose what's wrong and then fix that. So if it's a connector on your computer, a port that's failed, then they will replace that. If it's a capacitor that fried, okay, they'll replace that. They go in and find the thing and fix the thing. And then you get your device back with everything that was on it already, plus brand new parts to fix what was broken. And that means less tech waste is going into the landfills, which is an awesome thing. They also sell and lease Apple gear. So if you need to get a used Mac or a new Mac or an iPad, whatever, hit them up and they'll take care of you. They even do data recovery. So now, of course, you should be doing backups, but if you're in a bind and you need some data recovery, they'll check it out. If they can recover your data, great. If not, they're not going to charge you for the pleasure of telling you that your data is just lost. So that's pretty cool too. And they will give you a discount because they're awesome. Just mention that you're a BTN fan and they'll give you a discount. So thank you to Imend Max for being our sponsor as well. And I want to give all of you, our listeners and viewers, a big shout out because the Daily News Show is still going because so many people chipped in and made donations to keep the show running. And that's absolutely awesome. So 13 years and still going strong. And I want to remind everyone that just because we managed to keep the show going into October doesn't mean that we're in the clear. We need to make sure that money is still coming in on a regular basis to keep the Daily News Show happening. So, just skip one coffee a month and send that money in. And then we all get to keep enjoying the news show. So anyhow, thank you to all of you. You all absolutely rock. And I'm so glad that the Daily News Show gets to continue. And now it's time for the cool thing. But before we do that, Patrice, you're back. And I have to say, it took Ian and me working together to tell people about the chat room last week. And I think we still got it wrong, at least partly wrong. And and then on the Mac show, Callum came to my rescue and sent me the links so that I could tell people where to go. And I tell you all the time that I appreciate that you just tell people about the chat room. I have an even deeper appreciation for you doing that. So you're here. Please tell people about the chat room.
You know, I was listening to the Mac show last week and I was yelling at the screen, the phone. So yeah, if you want to join us while we're recording, there is a live chat that you can join. That one is on IRC at chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And you can join us every Thursday at 8 p.m. UK time. No, 7 p.m., 8 p.m. my time. And every Friday at 4 p.m. UK time. But if you're listening to this after the fact and you just want to know, like, where are the links and where are the show notes, and what people talk about in the chat, head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the 7th of October. And there you will find everything that we talked about.
And that was awesome. And I think the way I did it was I said, and here's the URL. And once you get there, you're on your own.
Yeah, I think that was about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, thank you. Okay. Now it's time for cool things. Patrice, what do you have?
I'll let Rich go first because I went first on the stories.
Did I talk about Spotify last time I was on here?
I don't think so.
Okay, good enough. I'm back on Spotify. Spotify is my cool thing this week. It was time to move again from Apple Music because, as you know, I've been using it on Windows, which is not a fun experience.
No, I can't imagine it would be.
And so compared to iTunes on Windows, Spotify offered a few functions that weren't there. I could open it. And then once it opened, you could see my library of music and I could click on songs and they'll play. And all of these things were sort of beating out Windows version of iTunes. So I had to swap. And I have to say, so far, it's actually been pretty good. I kind of like being back there. And I'd kind of forgotten how good it was at picking music that I would like to listen to. And yeah, I'm not feeling bad about it. I'm sorry, Apple Music. And I'm sorry, Tim, that I never listened to The Weeknd. I know. But I'm much happier now. And I'm enjoying how much I can integrate it with iOS still. I can tell Siri to play songs on it and she'll do that, which is still quite a new thing for me. I know it's been in there for a while, but I've used a lot of stock apps, and so I've not really explored using Siri with third-party apps a lot. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's been a positive experience. And they gave me 3 months for the price of one for coming back, so I can't complain.
Awesome. Yep, I love that we have multiple streaming music services to choose from.
Yeah.
So it's easier, or hopefully it's easier for people to find the service that works best for them, mm-hmm. but also because it makes competition.
Yeah,
it does. And I do keep moving between them. I think this stint on Apple Music might be the longest I've been on any single service, but I have YouTube Music because I'm paying for YouTube Premium, mm-hmm. Spotify, Apple Music. I had Google Music at one point. I'll go wherever. But sadly, it's always a case of whose app is annoying me the least.
Someone needs to invent a new one so Rich can go on that one.
Yeah, that's usually the case. Who is annoying me the least? And at the moment, mm-hmm. it turned out to be Spotify. Mm-hmm. So I'm back on there.
All right. So I have an app or service idea, and I'm going to call it all songs or all music right now, just off the top of my head. And this is an app or a service where you just put in the credentials for all the streaming services you have, and then you can tell it what you want to listen to, and then it goes and grabs the music that best fits your request across all your services, and then just streams for you. So you never have to worry about, do I need to go to Spotify to listen to this stuff? Or no, I have to go to Apple Music for this other thing. It's just all there for you. And it becomes this homogenous collection of music.
See, this is the kind of thing that makes me think I have really shallow taste in music, because I've never searched for any single piece of music that hasn't been available on any of the services. And I must have really pedestrian, predictable taste in music.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, also for the most part, I mean, there are edge cases where like content might not be available on platform or another, but for the most part, I think they're more or less on par. Like they have more or less the same catalogs.
All right. Well, then in that case, because I'm clearly an edge case, because I can throw out artist or song request and not, and it's not there. So how about if we change it so that it handles whatever service you like, but then can build you the kind of playlist that you really want? Like, it's kind of limited what you can do with Apple Music. You can definitely do more with Spotify for creating customized playlists. But what if you could take that even farther and have like incredible granular and automated control over the playlists that you're building and what you're listening to at any given time? I'd be in. Yeah. All right. So Spotify, woohoo!
Yes.
All right, Patrice, what do you have?
So I got so much to pick from this week. It was actually pretty hard, but I kept it in my file for next time. I'm going to pick something that I heard about for the first time this week, I think. And basically, last week. Oh, puppy.
Yeah.
Oh, that cool thing.
He nearly made it to the end. Aww. I know. It's time for your supper, isn't it? It's time for his supper, yes. And he knows. And I've said the word now. Yes. He's going to his bowl. Gone. Like, come on. Right. I have to do that now. Excuse me just a second.
Sorry, I got distracted by an awesome puppy. No, it's like, awesome. Oh, yeah. Something I discovered this week and binge watched basically in, I don't know, 2 days, 3 days. Squid Game. It's on Netflix. Completely left field. Like, nobody really knew. Oh, well, that's not true. Some people probably knew about it. But Netflix got it, and how do I best describe it? It's basically it's a Korean show. It's dubbed in English, but you can tell here and there that, like, obviously it was Korean originally, and some of the dialogue is a little bit weird sometimes. But it's basically about a really strange game show. So the game show. So that it's not the show itself is not a game show, like a typical whatever, Jeopardy, whatever. The show is about the characters that are all like usually deeply in debt and like a lot of personal issues and like issues with their family and whatever. And those people basically that have very little to lose get an offer to, and usually they're gambling addicts, I should probably add that. They get an offer to play a game. A secret game somewhere in a secret place. And at first they don't know what it's about, but they're gamblers, so they sign up for it anyway. But it turns out the games have won a pretty big payout. I think it's about, was it $38 million? It's 45 point something billion won. So pretty big payout. But also a major downside that I'm not going to spoil. But yeah, it's basically about the characters. It's about the characters and the kids, the Korean kids games that they have to play. I think, Red Light, Green Light is one of the few games that probably most people would know. And that's the first one. But it goes deeper. I said, and there's like, it has a little bit of everything. Like, there's a little bit of, let's call it fun. There's a little bit of like intrigue and like secrets and like everybody's wearing masks and stuff like that. And there's someone trying to figure out what's even going on. There's a lot of human stories, like sad human stories mostly. It was so well made. It was so interesting. It was so good. You have to get through the first episode. The first episode sets everything up. The very first episode is basically about the people and like how far down they are. And then the game starts at the very end of the episode. So, I mean, it didn't grab me at first, especially for a first episode. But from that point on, I think it's only 10 or 12 episodes. From that point on, it just had me and I just didn't stop. It was that good. So Squid Game.
I haven't started watching Squid Game yet, but it's on the list. I read an article this morning about the show where they've already had to go back and re-edit the series because the phone numbers that you get glimpses of turns out the real phone numbers.
Yes, there are.
And they didn't realize that the phone numbers that they had were actually real phone numbers. And so people are getting calls at home.
Yeah.
From fans of the show.
Yes.
Because they're, you know, they're dialing the numbers that that they're seeing on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to go back and edit so that
that you can see what like, the numbers or have different numbers. Yeah, stuff like that. So it is Korean. So some things are more Korean. The games are mostly Korean.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't really matter. You don't like those are kids' games. So it actually like I think part of like there were a couple of characters were like there was one character I think was from Pakistan. I think he was the stand-in for us because he did not know the games. But since all of them are kids' games, they're very easy to understand. So it didn't really matter that you didn't know what this particular game really means because by the time the game started, you pretty quickly figured out what had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the stakes are pretty high. I said, I'm not going to spoil it, but the stakes are massive in that game.
Awesome. Okay. Well, it's on my list and I may have to bump it up higher.
Absolutely. Like put it to the top of the list. Like I heard about it. It was like, sounds weird. And then I watched the first episode and I was like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah. And I've seen the trailer for it and I thought, whatever. But then people were saying, oh no, you have to watch it. So I put it on my list.
As far as I remember, it is the highest watched, most watched show ever on Netflix ever.
Wow.
So that should tell you something.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, not most watched total overall because some shows have been around for a long time and people have watched them over and over again, but like within the first whatever after release.
Wow. Okay. Well, it just went a lot higher on my list.
Yeah. That's it. The only thing, it's not for kids. I should say that not for kids. And if you don't like blood or violence, then that's not your show.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So my cool thing, Lego today announced a new kit and holy crap, this is amazing. It's the Titanic and it's over 9,000 pieces and price per brick is really good because it's $629. And so per brick, that's a really good price.
It's still $629.
Yes, you know, it's still a lot of money, but holy crap.
Tell me it comes with a little Lego Leonardo DiCaprio.
I certainly hope it does now.
And a little Lego Kate Winslet. That it has to.
If it doesn't, when I get around to getting this kit, mine will have those.
Excellent.
It's big. I mean, it's long.
It is, yeah.
And it actually, much like the real Titanic, breaks apart into three pieces.
Does it also sink?
It would definitely sink. But the way it breaks apart, it's so you can see inside the ship. So you get to see what's, you know, like where the engines and stuff are. Mm-hmm. And then the middle section, you're looking at this cross section of like staterooms and cabins and lounges and stuff. So, you know, it's cool because when it's together, it's the whole ship. And if you pull it apart and put it on the stand in segments, it's the ship in sections where you can actually see inside as well. And the detail is really impressive on this thing. And it looks like a really, really cool kit. So announced today and mm-hmm. available on November 8th.
It is, what is that? About 4.5 feet, about 135 centimeters long. That's pretty long.
Yeah. Yep. So it's a big kit as far as pieces go, but it's also mm-hmm. a big kit physically when it's put together.
Yeah, almost 10,000 pieces. 9,090.
Yep, 9,090 pieces. Yep.
Crazy.
Yep. So anyhow, Lego Titanic, holy crap. Sinks like the real thing, comes apart like the real thing, looks amazingly cool, and looks like a really cool build. And yeah. All right. So that's on my holiday wish list, you know, in case anyone is feeling especially generous and wants to send me a Lego Titanic. We could even try sinking it in my bathtub. Yeah. Okay. So, wow. What an awesomely fun show. Patrice, where can people find you?
They can find me every week here on the Big Show on Thursday and also on the Mac Show on Friday. They can go to thepatrice.com to find all the links, social media, and otherwise all the projects and everything I'm doing. I was on Mac Voices earlier this week, so you can look forward to that. That was a crazy show with a lot of people. And yeah, my podcast, when I finally get around to editing the last episode, is at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to interesting people about food and food-related memories and just everything that goes with that.
Awesome. Rich, where can people find you?
I think the easiest place is earlymorningbarking.com, and then you can get links to my YouTube channel and the podcast that's out. And anything else, I've got a Patreon. That's just a podcast and stuff. Anyway, earlymorningbarking.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. And I am on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamet on both, and youtube.com/JayGamet for my videos. And like Patrice, I was on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday, and here on the Big Show on Thursdays, and then Fridays on the Mac Show. And I've been on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays quite a bit as well. So anyhow, I get around. You can Google me, you can find me, and you can get more than your fill of me if you want. So thank you to both of you for being here today. You're absolutely awesome. And this has been loads of fun. And it's been great getting to hang out with both of you after your short absences. So yeah, this has been loads of fun. And thank you to everyone that is tuning in live and is in the chat room. You are all awesome. So it's great to get to hang out with every one of you. And for everyone that watches or listens later, you are fantastic. And I'm so glad that you were part of this as well. And let's see what else. I think that's it. Oh, wait, no. Thank you to TSO Hosts for being our sponsor. Use the discount code BTN20 to get a discount on their services and give them a shout out on social media. Thanks to Iman Max for sponsoring us as well. Mention us and they'll give you a discount. And thank you everyone for keeping the Daily News Show alive. You're all absolutely awesome. And if it were safe and socially acceptable, I would give every single one of you a hug. Yeah. Okay. So thank you to everyone. Don't forget the Mac Show is tomorrow. So tune back in for that. And everyone have an awesome weekend. And thanks again for being here.